Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to a Thursday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, the award winner, is rocking his St. Louis gear in a land full of Cub fans with that central race and wild card football to talk about. We'll get into it. An important question asked by ESPN.com on Mahomes and what he can do statistically. We'll dive into some NFL weekend. It is Nebraska-Illinois. It is the opener of the Big Ten. A little lackluster, except the fact that, hey, the road monkey on your back is very real. It is time to knock that off and start off the year with a road win for Nebraska in conference play. We'll jump there. Jay Moore is going to join us from Big Red Wrap-Up, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore in about 20 minutes. We'll hear from Gary Barnett, get the coach's thoughts on the college football weekend and what he thinks of Nebraska. Haven't seen the Big Red a couple of weeks ago and moving forward. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, Burke's best bets. I turn on Twitter and there's not a TV camera. I don't see Danny Burke on. It is, well, it's annoying. I mean that in as complimentary a fashion as I can. Brandon Vogel going to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Get his thoughts on Nebraska football and their weekend and the volleyball last night. We'll start there in a second. We'll hear from Coach Frost here. And you're welcome to chime in, 466-3776, 466-3776-800-825-5865, where you hear us all along the Hail Varsity Radio Network. You can send us an email, chris@hailvarsity.com, and give us a tweet, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, Colton Stone, two birds, one stone. I always get a kick out of it with our old buddy Monty. Monty Selden Trucking, they haul all the equipment. And so they're loading up the old rig as we speak, or maybe they're on the road already, but he always gives us a shout out before he hits the road. God bless him for listening to us on the trek that direction. So we heard the shout out from Boulder. We got the shout out now from Illinois. I hope we're not the problem. if Nebraska doesn't come back from Champaign with the win, maybe we're the issue, Colton. I don't know. But let's start with volleyball. We'll get to football. Just not enough. You had stretches, a good play by Nebraska. You have a younger team in Nebraska. And you have a bunch of killers on Stanford's squad. And you have five seniors returning. You have the college volleyball player of the year, you know. And Stanford just went into that environment. And it was close for a couple of matches, but then Nebraska just kind of got overwhelmed by Stanford. Stanford was phenomenal, and Nebraska will get there. And it's a lesson learned, right? And this is the level you got to be at to be a champion. Here's your example. Here's your defending champs. Try and match that level of excellence. And Nebraska will have every opportunity in Big Ten play. I'm not Mr. Volleyball guy. I just know that it was huge. I watched it last night as long as I could before I crashed out. Brandon Vogel, he's an author with John Cook. Dream Like a Champion. We'll get Vogel's take and plenty of football. But needed to start with volleyball. Tip your cap to Nebraska fans. That's every day. But last night, with that environment, with that showcase for volleyball on the Big Ten, Larry Putney's phenomenal. So that was really cool to have that showcase, and Nebraska will grow from it.
Plus the attendance record, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's 86 and change.
Yeah.
That's huge. You know what Stanford reminded me of? They reminded me of some of those really insane Ohio State teams that we've seen in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. right? They remind me of kind of the old school Miami Hurricane teams, and they clearly remind me of the 90s Nebraska teams where they would march in and smoke somebody and have to put their starters back in because the reserves were tired. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking by second half action. There's a 50 spot on the scoreboard, and you can only take so many fellas on the road with you. Mm-hmm. It's time to put the starters back in, not because you hate the other guy in a headset. It's because your backups are tired. They've had three series. And someday Nebraska football will get back to that. We'll hear from Scott Frost shortly. But, you know, I look at this Illinois matchup, and there's a lot that has to go wrong for Nebraska Saturday night for this to be super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Part of me wants to see how Nebraska responds if it is tight. Because we haven't seen that. We've seen Nebraska win in Lincoln in a tight ball game against Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You've seen Nebraska like throw punches back in Iowa to end the regular season a year ago. But this team this year, you had a little tighter game that you wanted against South Alabama, not in the same competition level. Mm-hmm. You have what happened in Colorado happen in Colorado. I want to see, we're talking Stanford, Nebraska growing from it. I want to see Nebraska on the road invoke that killer instinct, put somebody away. I mean, Illinois has a smart head coach, but Illinois has a struggling program that is not supported. Illinois has been blasted by injuries, so you're not getting the full bore Illini talent pool. You still have some good players, don't get me wrong. And you still got a really, really talented defensive mind you got to deal with in Lovie Smith. But what is real about Illinois is the fact that they're a program under Lovie that is maybe a little too much like Mike Riley. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is he's an NFL coach. He's got an NFL mentality. Guys love him. Guys loved Riley. But is he going to put his shoe somewhere to get the best results? Or is he going to kind of treat you like you've already earned it? Mm-hmm. And you have that pro mentality versus the hands-on. These kids are 18 to 22-year-olds. They need someone to be hands-on with them, to motivate and drive them, because the maturity level varies from kid to kid. And I think that's why you see Illinois football as sloppy as they are. Because Lovie's coming from a pro-style mentality culture where you don't do your job, you're fired, out, see ya, I'll go pick up another guy. In college football, you can't do that. And what you see with the Illini, I mean, 9 penalties, 80 yards in penalties. Eastern Michigan's, I'm not going to sneeze at them, but time and time again, you have a chance to go put a drive together and you're screwing it up. And that's hurt Nebraska fans for a few years, where Nebraska's been their own worst enemy. Nebraska's not helped themselves out. Mm-hmm. And in situations like this, when you're on the road against a team as a double-digit favorite, are you mature enough to go handle your business, play clean football? And I thought Nebraska took a pretty good step forward here with just one penalty last week. That's ideal. But if you can stay under 3 penalties, you know, 3 or less, that's huge. That's an extra possession. That's an extra, let's get off the field defensively. There you go. I think Nebraska is going to get tested. There's things that Colorado opened up, and that is going up top on Nebraska's secondary. Mm-hmm. Colorado went downtown several times. They hit some of them. You saw Northern Illinois try and do it. They didn't connect on it. I think that's where Illinois and Peters is going to go. That's where they're going to try and make their hay. They're going to try and get some big plays. Nebraska's given up quite a few pass plays of over 10 yards. That happens. But is Nebraska going to be able to play defense and get after the quarterback? Or are they going to – is Illinois going to make some plays downfield and have some explosive plays, get some big scores, and hang around in this thing?
Yeah, and we kind of talked about it the other day on Tuesday about how, like, how the offense will respond, and also, like, if this is a game where the defense has to take control. And
yes and yes.
Yes and yes, right. You don't want this to be a game where we're just going to score more points. Because if you get into that situation, Illinois' defense, you know, while they did lose to Eastern Michigan, they can still put something together that you probably haven't seen on tape. And Lovie Smith will have them ready to play at the very least, right? And
this, you need to be excited about this, Colton. Right. It's your Big Ten opener. It's year four of Lovie. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't do your job in non-conference, so you're 3-1. Nebraska didn't do their job, if you ask them, mm-hmm. in non-conference to be undefeated. I mean, this thing, it's, you know, it belongs on the Big Ten, but it's a night game.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for both teams. I mean, Lovie right now is fighting for his job. Nebraska's fighting for that next step in their program.
Yeah, and obviously Illinois is at a different stage where they're just trying. I mean, you could say the past 2 years with Nebraska too. They're at a stage where they're just trying to make bowl games and be competitive. They just don't want to get blown out by anybody. And I think that's kind of everybody's goal, but Illinois more so than anybody. And there's just been time and time again last year, and you know, through a couple of their non-conference games, they just haven't. They also haven't found a way to just close it out and keep the foot on the gas.
That's what Saturday is, man. Do you take control because you're better, and you twist the knife? Mm-hmm. Is kind of my question, Coach Frost today, and we'll get to his best comment about somebody. I think it was Ozaki asking him if he or his dad were better at blocking. We'll get there in a minute, but here's Frost and the lowdown, pretty much cut five on the Illini. The tour here, right? This is what the coach has kind of seen, and his overview of the Big Ten opener.
I think they're an improved team. Obviously, their coaching staff knows what they're doing. Defensively, I think they plugged up some of the holes that we exploited last year. They're not giving up big plays like they did last year. They're better up front. I think the secondary looks faster. Offensively, they do some creative things. I think they got good players doing them. So I think they're an improved team. And I think we've gotten better. I think they've gotten better. So we'll see how the chips fall and see who's improved the most.
Yep, who's gotten better, who's focused. Good week of practice. Frost touched on that. Ramir Johnson was asked about, and he's got to be a little cleaner in practice, but maybe you see him. He didn't comment on Hymus or Cam Taylor Britt. Birdie told me that I think Hymus is good to go. He's fine. He's healthy. He's not in a boot. I mean, he should go. I still want to see Brock Bando. I mean, I hope it's to that point score-wise if you're a Nebraska fan. But, you know, building some depth that way, and Bando's done the work. I'd like to see him go against some of those edge guys for the Illini. The best part of the presser today, you had the news about Scott Frost and his dad being inducted into the Nebraska Football High School Hall of Fame. That's a no-brainer. Frost, an incredible ball player. Larry Frost was phenomenal as well, and that's special to Scott Frost. A couple of thoughts here on red shirts, and Jakeem Green is a guy that they're hoping that, yeah, we've got him for four games, but if we don't need to use him, if you stay healthy in that front three, imagine Green with a year of Duval, and you get 2 years out of a talent like that. I mean, you've got an embarrassment of riches up front. You have one more. You have 1 year of Darian Daniels right now. You hope Damian, as we look down the Yellow Brick Road here, can take over that spot. But if you got a guy like Jakeem Green as well that's versatile, I mean, you want to be able to reload. When your offensive line's a year better next year, you want your defensive line to not drop off. So you get some mixing and matching here. But this is Coach Frost asked point blank, were you or your dad a better blocker? And this was a pretty good response.
Blocker?
Yeah.
Well, I've never really had to block except on special teams in the NFL.
You made out a pretty good block, I remember one time.
Yeah, that would be illegal now, by the way. So I'm a dinosaur.
Yeah, the blindside block where Scott Frost de-cleated a Texas A&M Aggie in the Alamo Dome for the Big 12 championship was legendary. You see the GIF. You've seen that play.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely would be illegal now.
See, and I love those blocks, though, man. Especially if – can you throw a flag on a quarterback? I mean, they didn't do it Remember the Titans. They didn't do it on Frost.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Can you do it now? Like, if Adrian's going out of bounds and he stiff-arms some guy and he blows the guy up and it's like 2 yards out of bounds and the guy's still engaged with him, can you get flagged for unnecessary roughness as a quarterback? I mean, you wouldn't throw it on a kicker. Quarterbacks are a little different than kickers. And speaking of kicking, Nebraska's got a new kicker that isn't traveling. The point of this, and Scott Frost won't come out and say it, this thing better not come down to the kicking game. Make your extra points, hit a field goal, but let's not leave it up to that. Let's finish some drives and get touchdowns. More on Nebraska, Illinois, some NFL thoughts. Jay Moore is on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is with us. Jay, what do you know? How are you?
Don't know much, and that's kind of why I like it sometimes, I'll be honest with you, but I'm good. Everything's good. It's getting closer to another game day for good mood, and a good performance together. Been back-to-back weeks.
What did Saturday night do for you?
It was, it's showing that this team has matured. A lot of times you the saying goes, you can't let a bad loss beat you twice. I know we talked about that last Friday when we did the show at the Graduate, and they didn't do it. They didn't, they came out and defense played, a solid four quarters. Overall, the team played mistake-free football. Minus the kicking game. They're going to continue to have issues with that as long as figuring's out. But overall, they showed me that they can handle, the noise and handle, the distractions of that loss. And now he's got to keep it going. Offense is showing some strides. Defense has got to continue to play well. And just kind of getting tuned up here and keep shoring some things up on the offensive side of the ball. And obviously still got to take care of business against Illinois, but trying to get ready for that big matchup September 28th.
Ohio State looms. We'll figure out if it's game day. I know it's a night game on ABC. So much opportunity. You don't want it to be all for naught if you don't handle things Saturday night in Champaign. Doesn't sound like the energy level is going to be there unless they keep giving away more and more tickets. I don't know how it's right. going to shake out. I want to get your take on Lovey before we dive into some keys. And you were a longtime NFL guy. You were in the league when Lovey was coaching. And the guy's got an incredible rep. He's been successful. He's a good coach. Is it just too much to ask for him to be able to make a dent and build a program like Illinois? He's got guys that will probably end up in the league, but they're not a threat. They're not Illinois of yesteryear, where even at 7-5 they beat somebody that got your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a long ways. I went to Juice Williams as a quarterback back in 2011-12, when Illinois was probably...
I mean, they went to the Rose Bowl in 2008.
Rose Bowl around that time. So, they had, the good running backs. They had, a couple first, second round picks coming out of there.
Mendenhall was nice, yeah.
Yeah. So, Lovey is definitely a player's coach. Guys loved to play for him when he was in Chicago. He took care of players. Didn't really run tough training camps. It was definitely a player's coach, and He got results. I mean, obviously, he had tremendous talent there in Chicago, going to always making the playoffs, usually coming on top of the NFC North, making the Super Bowl there. Obviously, he'd be by the Colts when Peyton got his first Super Bowl. But, I think it's hard. I think in college football nowadays, and I don't know. I don't know Levy personally, but it seems to me, I mean, you either got to be a tremendous recruiter, which obviously he's brought in some decent talent, and you got to surround yourself with hard asses,
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you need in college. I think you need guys who, you got to be on the players. I mean, the young, immature 18, 19-year-old, you're not dealing with veteran guys who know this is their job, this is their livelihood, they're doing this for a paycheck. But if they don't, if they don't like it, if they're not doing their job, you can get rid of them. It's a little different. And in college, you gotta roll with these guys. So I don't know if, his mentality, is the best. I know, I guarantee you, the players like him, but I just don't know if that's a good fit for what Illinois has. Like I said, you can recruit really well. You have to surround yourself with some coaches that are, able to kind of put their foot down and be tough on their players. And let's be honest, it's just the support. And like we said, the energy, it's just not there. I mean, you got beat by Eastern Michigan last week, and it's just tough. There's fans there, your main three sports, basketball and football have really, underachieved, to say the least here in the last, 2-3 years. They're paying a lot of money to Underwood and to Lovie Smith. So the whole, athletic department's probably a more difficult situation they want to be. But listen, Lovie's obviously very respected. He's a good coach. I just don't know if his mentality and how he handles things are a great fit for the college level. I mean, I think he's probably more suited for the NFL, but overall, he's a very well-respected coach.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, co-host of Big Red Wrap-Up at JayMoore44 is where you find him on Twitter. I think you just kind of painted the Riley era, and there's some parallels because of that NFL, as we call it, mentality, where guys earn trust and a pass, even though maybe they don't deserve it. Some kids are mature enough to handle in your own business, and some kids need hands-on supervision, and that's a big-time roll of the dice in college to not be as hands-on as you can be, in my opinion. What's your level of concern for Saturday night? What do you think happens with Nebraska? And being a defensive guy, what do you see teams doing to the Nebraska offense? Is it as simple as let's throw a junk defense at Frost and company and make them take a quarter to adjust?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the theme here so far. We talked about this on Tuesday, a bigger wrap-up. I just think you're at the point of the season where you don't have a lot of time now to all of a sudden say, hey, for a 4-3 team, we're going to do a 3-4, or for a, or vice versa, 3-4 road to 4-3, or even I think Colorado kind of switched some things up and like went with like a 3-3-5 or something, mm-hmm. Just things like that. It's just, you're at that point of season now. You're trying to build your foundation of your own team, and defensively, I think teams are going to roll with what they've been doing. I think early in the season, teams can kind of switch some stuff up because they can work on it in training camp because you have so much time to do that, and you can kind of throw some extra wrinkles in there. But I think now, it's kind of more what you see is what you're going to get. I think Illinois has some bigger issues to worry about than trying to maybe throw a new wrinkle in there. That's why, I think most teams, you're just trying to do what you do and do it really well instead of trying to throw something else in there and complicating it anymore. But let's be honest, I want to surprise me. Illinois would do something like that. I just don't foresee it. I think these teams are just going to load it up and kind of just force Adrian's hand. I think you're going to see 8 in the box. I think you're going to see, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat the throwing. We're going to take away that inside run game, even though we got going a little bit against Northern Illinois, but we're going to make sure to take it over, beat us over our heads. And, his passing game, our passing attack has been up and down. The line protection has been great at times. His vision hasn't been great at times. Our wide receivers have had some key drops. So I think teams will just force our hand and say, hey, you gotta take it up top. So it'll be interesting to see. They just gotta come out and again play clean football. No penalties. Don't turn it over. Main things you always want to do, but even on the road, you have to that has to get taken to another level. So I expect them to come out and play well. Saturday night. I think the defense can play well. I think Illinois will have their chances, but I think Nebraska just makes more plays and is a better overall football team on Saturday night.
Does this game take the shape of Nebraska jumps out and then has to hang on? And I ask that because, you're still kind of waiting on Nebraska to prove they learned their lesson. Northwestern, Colorado, can you go on the road and get a road win for the first time in the Frost era and hang on to a lead? I mean, it'd be better if they went, let's put our cigarette out on the Illini, but who knows, man? You don't trust this team enough to they're getting better. I do know that, but are they at that point right now where they go put Illinois in a headlock for four quarters?
Yeah, I don't. I think I predicted 35-24 for being a wrap up, and I said my feel is they get off to a bigger lead, they get off to a good start, but this team kind of stumbled a little bit coming out of the second half, and most teams kind of do. You sit around for 20 minutes. You can get off to a slow start. That's not out of the ordinary for most teams. I think they will have to hang on. I think Illinois will, make some plays. They got scholarships too. They got good players, and they'll do some things, I think. But overall, I think Nebraska will get off to a good start and have a big enough lead or just make enough plays to get it done. I think, like I said, I do think they get off to a nice start, but I think it's going to, it might get a little uncomfortable in the second half, but overall, we'll get those big plays popping again, and the defense will step up and get some stops, and, you get out of Dodge. It's going to be kind of a weird atmosphere, like you said. Who knows how many people are there? Might be more Nebraska fans than Illinois fans, to be honest. It might look like the Rose Bowl where Oklahoma played UCLA last weekend. So, it's a tricky game. It's we said last week don't let a bad loss beat you twice. Now it's like, hey, you guys still got to focus, even with Ohio State coming. So like I said, the maturity of the team looks a little better, so they should be able to handle it and get out of there with a win.
All right, tell me this, and I'll let you get out after this. Jay Moore is with us, black shirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44. You catch him Tuesdays on Big Red Wrap Up. What type of game does Nebraska need? What's most beneficial? And yes, win is the answer. But is it, how we talked about Northern Illinois, Nebraska needs to go smack somebody, and they did. They played well. What does Nebraska need Saturday night? What advances them the best as a football team?
Play fast and decisive. I wouldn't necessarily say turn it into a track meet. I don't like those type of games where offenses are both kind of just trading punches all game. I think the defense has got to come out and continue to play fast and decisive. You've seen that, and I think the offense has got to continue to do that. Let's not make it more difficult than what needs to be. If the quick pass is there, hit it. Get that ball moving, get tempo. I think this is the type of game, getting a rhythm and tempo, and then you can put your foot on the gas and go by them. So I think the game's fast, physical, and I think that type of game suits Nebraska on both sides of the ball really well.
Do you see Hymus or do you see Cam Taylor-Britt Saturday night?
I don't know. Cam's a little interesting. He said the non-contact jersey on. We'll probably hear more. I think Hymus will go. I think you'll see him. But I don't think, shoulder injuries are tough. I'd like to say hopefully you should be able to beat Illinois without both of them, with Eric Lee and then whether it's Brock Bando you put in there. I think you'll see one of them. I'd lean more Hymus instead of Cam Taylor.
Jay, we'll talk next week. We'll see you at the graduate next Friday. Thanks for a few.
Yep, you got it, Shady.
Good to hear Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Good stuff on Nebraska and the Illini. We'll hit some NFL. What can Mahomes do number-wise in 2019? Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
20 minutes, it's Gary Barnett time. Brandon Vogel and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Burke's best bets, your best bet for making her happy and you being extremely happy is finding your way to see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman Jewelers. You spend $2,500 and get a free Traeger grill. Heat up that tailgate more ways than one. Get her the jewelry of her dreams. And three locations for you to do it. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. That's awesome, man. That's a deal. Go get her some wonderful earrings, maybe a necklace, maybe a ring. Colton's like, did the ring, man. And you get a Traeger. And that's handy if you want to do short ribs and brisket this weekend. Just saying. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Okay, so let's hit some NFL. Malik Collins is going to reintroduce himself to Josh Rosen this weekend. How and why? Well, Miami's answer to the hell that is 2019 is starting Josh Rosen. And I know Miami's offense has been garbage, and they've been a mess, and people are defecting like they're, well, they're playing baseball for Cuba, quite frankly. So Miami's answer now is to go with Josh Rosen, who was top three talent, slipped to number 10. Arizona said, get out of here. For an unproven, tiny dude, Kyler Murray's awesome. I think he's going to be good, and if he can stay healthy. But Rosen's your prototype.
Oh, yeah.
Rosen's got the smarts and the arm and the quick release. He just doesn't have the personality.
Yeah, we talked about that that move at length at the Journal Star, actually, because a couple of us agreed that, like, why get rid of him after a year? Because if that's the case, you're essentially telling everybody, like, yeah, we're just going to start a rebuild again, even though you kind of already were rebuilding by bringing another new quarterback. And then you get a new coach, and it's like, well, if that's what the coach wants, I mean, like,
you got the fit, though, right, with yeah, Murray. And
I think you could get Rosen to – I mean, he's not going to run, but – he's a hell of a thrower.
Oh, he is. He is. And, I mean, you get either quarterback in the air raid.
Mm. And you get one that's, like, over 6 foot. So,
sure, right. Yeah. But part of the fun with Murray is his mobility.
Yeah.
But Rosen's a tennis kid. I mean, he was a junior tennis champion, and then he went to football, which is kind of an odd sport jump.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, the guy's got lateral quickness and footwork, but there's a character that Rosen reminds me of in Animal House. You seen Animal House?
It's been a while, but yeah.
Okay, good. You're 21, going on 22, maybe you're 22 now. Point is it's one thing you need to do in life is watch the movie Animal House. Aside from the hilarity that ensues, there's life lessons in there. And one of the life lessons is don't be Niedermeyer. Right? He's the guy with the cigarette holder that is leading the ROTC group, where you have Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you, and Otter or Boone, I forget the guy's nickname, but they're playing golf and they hit the guy's horse and he gets drug. He's the drill sergeant, and he's trying to open fire on the parade. He's the guy that, at the end of the movie, his own soldiers in Vietnam kill him. Killed by his own troops in Vietnam. I'm not saying Rosen's that bad, where there's been a code red in the locker room on him already. Mm-hmm. But his personality's so off. I mean, he is too smart for the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it pisses his teammates off everywhere he's been. I'd love to see him play good ball. Somewhere I still got a Dolphins t-shirt. But Dallas is going to light him up, and Malik Collins is going to say, hey, remember me from the Foster Farms Bowl. Because Malik used him like a pinata.
Yeah, I think – I haven't seen that line recently, but I know it was at 21.5.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, like, it's one thing for New England to get 19.5. And Dallas is really good.
Yeah.
But it's another thing for for Dallas. And I think Dallas goes to Miami, don't they?
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly.
Did New England, was New England at Miami last week too? Or was that in Foxborough?
It might have been in Foxborough. I don't think it would have mattered either way.
I don't think so either. But if you're the home team getting 19.5, you get it. But if you're a road team getting 20, I mean, that thing's gone. They just traded Minka to Pittsburgh. It's hopeless. Awful head coaching hire, and Josh Rosen is not the answer. So let's get into Patrick Mahomes. Can't wait for Sunday. Baltimore, Kansas City is going to be off the hook. Baltimore's typically got a good defense. Lamar Jackson against the Chiefs defense, and Mahomes is doing his thing. So the story is out today that you have Nathan Carnahan having his wedding. Honeymoon, him and his bride are going to fly to Spain for their wedding. He's on active duty, didn't come from money, neither did his wife, and he's paying for his wedding, thanks to Mahomes. Now, Mahomes didn't scratch him a check, but odds were 40-1 that Mahomes would win the MVP last year. So Carnahan dropped $200 on those 40-1 odds, $8,000, boom, pays for the wedding. That's pretty awesome.
Should have done that.
So we're talking gambling here and how it can pay for your wedding and maybe even your divorce. I'm interested.
Or it could lead to your divorce.
Well, yeah, but it might as well. If it's going to lead to your divorce, it might as well pay for your divorce. She has no right to that. That's your brains working. Could Mahomes hit 60 touchdowns and 6,000 yards? I mean, is that obscene to talk about? That got me thinking because Marino was the first guy to like blow out the touchdown numbers. Mid-80s had 48 and threw for 5,000 yards. Since then, Drew Brees has gone for 5,000 yards, I think, three or four times. And Brady hit the 50-touchdown mark. And Mahomes was – didn't he hit 50 last year?
Yeah.
So what's 10 more? I think he could absolutely hit 60. But what's like that obscene Roger Maris, let's juice up and go 73 or 70, whatever the hell Bonds did that doesn't count. What's like the obscene touchdown number? I mean, is 100? Yeah. But 75? I mean, if we've had a couple of guys hit 50, could you see someone get 60? Yeah, I think they can.
Yeah, because the thing is,
especially in the offense they're in.
I think he had 54 last year, maybe. 56, was it that somewhere high? Around there? Yeah,
I forgot. Well, I know Brady went off 10, 12 years ago for 50 with Randy Moss.
Manning had like 52 or 53.
He broke
one
that,
year.
Yeah, for Indy.
And so I think Mahomes was in kind of that range. But all it takes really is one of those games that you throw five and then maybe an extra four touchdown game here or there. And as long as you're throwing, I mean, I think the number was like 3.7 a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you're hanging around that 3-5 number, it's going to be fairly easy.
Well, think about it. I mean, and what sparked this is you go for almost 300 yards and four touchdowns in a quarter. What if you put two quarters like that together? We'll wind out hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, we're still figuring out this Saturday football party. I love it. What's on the menu? Meat? Anything else? If you think you need sides. Right, I mean, are sides overrated? You don't need sides.
Depends
you just need meat. You just need meat and alcohol.
Typically, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Right?
If you're going
maybe a bun, I don't know.
If you're going keto, I've talked about this one of the days that you were gone. If you just ate protein and like had
alcohol,
nine Miller Lights, which are low carb,
yes they are.
That's a keto diet right there, and you'll get
some
a buzz.
Guy did a beer diet for 30 days. Just drank beer. I think he dropped 30 pounds.
Could do it.
Should we try it in the name of science during football season? If I drink Mick Ulta, I always kind of get that look from the bartender like, what are you doing, buddy? You're already tubby.
When it comes to sides, I mean,
cut something else out.
Yeah, it might not be the beer at that point.
No, it's portion control.
Yeah, when it comes to sides, it kind of just depends. Like, you know, I'm a big macaroni salad guy. If you have someone that knows how to make good mashed potatoes or you know, red and gold potatoes, whatever it may be.
Dude, the Yukon gold. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, no, I don't. I mean, they're a side for a reason. It shouldn't be the star of the show. You shouldn't have a plate where you have more, like, potato salad than brisket. Like, it
see, and it took me a long time. I was a slow learner with potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing against, you know, grandma or mom's potato salad. It's good. But somebody brought, like, the red potatoes potato yep. salad. That's awesome.
Red potatoes, throw a little bacon in there.
We're gonna get Vogel's expertise on, and I know I've probably worn this whole short ribs and brisket thing out, but I need to tap into Vogel here on short ribs because he's done them before.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my fear. It's not my meat. All right? Someone's bringing over the food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being used for the smoker. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine with that. It's okay to be used in life. So the thing is the last thing you can do is screw up this guy's short ribs. He's an insurance guy, and have him punch you in the junk when it comes to rate hike time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, like, you know, I mean, we just had to bump the rates. Oh, you mean because we used your brisket as a hockey puck at halftime?
Yeah, that's what you want to avoid. Like I said, especially if someone else is bringing it, like.
And they offered it. There was no illicit photos. There was no blackmail involved.
He's blackmailing the insurance agent.
A kind soul.
No, I didn't put the smoker in my house to burn the house down. No, I don't want insurance money. Don't let a hot coal find its way into the living room.
Exactly. Gary Barnett's coming up. We'll check in with Barney. Thoughts on the college football weekend. What's he think of Nebraska after seeing him against Colorado? What's he think of Colorado? They absolutely screwed up what momentum they had, and they're taking on Colton Sun Devils.
It's going to be a good game.
Brandon Vogel's on the way, and then Burke's Best Bets, Danny Burke. Danny Burke is on freaking TV now out in Las Vegas. Good for him. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hour 2 on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some college football. The coach joins us, Northwestern, Colorado. Gary Barnett is with us. Coach, it's good to chat with you again. How you been?
Chris, doing well. It was a hard weekend during the Nebraska game for me physically, but I'm over on the road to recovery, doing well, looking forward to this game, all the games this weekend, really. So it's because there's some big games, as you know.
A lot of big games we're going to get into. I want to go back to Nebraska, Colorado, and I want to get your take on learning from a loss, and you coached and did well doing so at two programs. Is there a loss that you remember that you learned a lot from? It really just was awful and painful at the time, but it made you better as a coach?
You know, if you don't look at every loss and learn something from it, then it was a waste of time. And so every loss has something in there that a lot of people or a few people can learn from. And so, yeah, and there are losses that are more painful than others, obviously. But, you know, I can remember, for example, I'll give you a great example. When I first got to Northwestern, it's homecoming, we're playing Minnesota, they're ahead by 2 points, and we've got the ball, and with about 25 seconds left, we throw a pass, two passes down the middle, and we have enough time to spike the ball and kick an extra point. There's 1 second left on the clock. And so we run the field goal team out. We're within range. The referee blows his whistle to start the clock. We snap the ball. We kick it through the uprights, and it's good, except we didn't snap the ball soon enough.
Oh, man.
And so from that point on, every day in practice of every week I ever practiced, ever coached, every day we snapped the ball with 1 second left on the clock. We learned the mechanics. I had all the snappers, everybody, watch the mechanics of every official that had that situation, because we pulled that up. And we would, at the minute that ball, that whistle blew, the ball was snapped. It wasn't waiting to hear the whistle blow. It was snapped the very instant that whistle blew. So, and it later won a game for us. But that's a perfect example. You learn something from every single game.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. What did you take away from Nebraska, Colorado? I know it's 2 weeks old, but Nebraska fans still feeling that, and they're kind of waiting to see where Nebraska goes from that. And Nebraska beat a pretty good Northern Illinois team, came out locked in and ready to go. What were your takeaways? What did Colorado do in the second half, in your opinion? And what did you see about Nebraska that impressed you?
You know, what happened on the Colorado sideline was really, I think, just Mel Tucker's presence and his handling of the halftime and his attitude going in there and the Buff attitude coming out. They didn't make a lot of changes. But what changed was how much better they played and how much more resolve they had. And they had that, I think, because of Mel's approach and the way he handled the first half. And I think a lot of time coaches spend too much time recounting everything that happened in the first half and trying to fix that, rather than taking the approach as, what do we have to do from this point on to win the football game? And Mel simply told him, he says, you've taken their best shot. You're still standing. Keep doing what you're doing. He sort of told them, you guys are okay, you know. And on the way into the locker room, he told Brian Cabral on the way in, he said, this is going to be a great story. And so to me, that's the one thing I took away from the game, and that's being on the inside and knowing a few things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, from the Nebraska standpoint, they had to take away that there is never, never a time to relax. And if we have an aggressive game plan, we need to keep aggressively, playing aggressively, coaching aggressively, calling plays aggressively. You know, we have a quarterback that can flat out run. He's a weapon. They had trouble tackling him. You know, that was our plan going in, stay with our plan. And I think, as I look at it from a distance, that's what I would have seen. So, you know, it looked like to me that they learned from the game before. They weren't playing probably as good a team as Colorado, but maybe Colorado isn't a great football team. But they took care of business the next week. And sometimes you just need a slap in the face to realize, you know, what you need to do.
Coach, what do you think of the Big Ten? I know you're kind of in the thick of the Pac-12 with Colorado, and we'll get to Arizona State here in a moment. But overall, what's your read on the Big Ten? Is it really just Ohio State? I know Michigan's got a big showdown with Wisconsin, but perception-wise of the league, is it living up to the billing, or do you think teams are just still trying to find themselves?
Well, I think right now that the Big Ten is looked at nationally as Ohio State and everybody else. I really think that's the way because there hasn't been a Big Ten team performance that's been terrific, you know. And it is early, and so you don't pull that trigger yet. But I think that the game this weekend is a must-win for Michigan. I think it is an absolute must-game win for Michigan. And, you know, I know they're actually 4-point underdogs in this game, but it's a must-win for them. And Penn State's victory over – Pitt was, you know, it was a rivalry game, and but, you know, Pitt hung in there and could have made it closer. So they haven't, you know, got anybody's attention. The only other team I think that's got anybody's attention is probably Wisconsin. And that's why this game's big for the Big Ten, is which one of those two teams survives.
What did you take away from Michigan State? I assume you've watched a little bit of Arizona State Sparty, and talk about the Sun Devils, too. I mean, let's get into your matchup with the Buffs and Arizona State. And Air Force kind of came in and went Air Force on you last weekend.
Yeah, well, we had an extra point blocked, and you know, they did. They just ran the ball right down our throat, and it was a simple game plan, and they executed very well. But they had open receivers that they missed. They could have been worse. He threw a pick on the 2-yard line.
Oh, wow.
Air Force quarterback did on just a stupid throw. You know, it should have been 27-10 at halftime. Buffs were lucky to make it as close as they did. But the Michigan State game, I was really surprised to see Michigan State struggle so much offensively. Defensively, they played well, and they let a 6'6" true freshman quarterback get loose and really win the football game. But it didn't look like to me like a D'Antonio coach football team. You know, especially having 12 guys line up on a field goal attempt that cost you the game. You know, it just looked like they were struggling offensively against a team that doesn't have a great defense. So, you know, I think it was a really good win for the Pac-12, although not a convincing win, but a really bad loss for the Big Ten, I think, because they just beat a real average Pac-12. Or they lost to a real average Pac-12 football team. So, coming up with our game, this is a game, both these two teams are pretty similar. They have they're much better defensively than Colorado is, but offensively we probably have more weapons. It's just whether or not, you know, we can block anybody long enough to get the ball down the field. And they're sort of having the same problems. You got Eno Benjamin only averaging 65 yards a game.
Jeez.
On a guy that averaged 120 yards a game a year ago with a different offensive line. So we're both struggling on the offensive line side. But their quarterback's playing at a pretty high level. He's a terrific athlete, by the way. He does not look like a freshman. He acts like a junior, redshirt senior, or redshirt junior. So this is a good match. We're 7.5-point underdogs going in, but and we have not played well in Tempe, but I think overall it's a good matchup for the two teams.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, a thought on Illinois football, and you coached and did well at Northwestern. Illinois had their moments. They're not that far removed. I mean, it as years go by, but I remember them in the Rose Bowl back in 07 or 08, and what should Illinois football be? I've wondered that. They're giving tickets away. It's a night game. The energy level's not so great going in. They dropped one to Eastern Michigan, and I'm wondering what's a fair expectation there in Champaign.
Well, that is really an interesting question, because Illinois, I think back in the day when we all know Illinois being a really good football program,
yeah.
I mean, that was as solid and tough a program and as talented of players as there is. And you would think with Chicago being a major recruiting area, Chicago and Indianapolis, that it would be a pretty decent job. But it hasn't been, and I don't – you know, I think the distance level, the separation between Chicago and Champaign is more than just a couple hundred miles. And, you know, it's Colorado and Nebraska has sort of struggled with getting guys to visit unofficially, you know, from the cities. And I think Champaign's sort of struggling the same way. They're not getting a lot of the kids from Chicago to come down because of the distance, I think, and because it hasn't performed at a level that draws their interest. And Chicago is over-recruited in that every Big Ten school goes in there. And other than Minnesota and probably Penn State and maybe now Maryland and Rutgers, parents can drive to every single game that they're – if their kid goes to a Big Ten school. And so the advantage of having Champaign 3 hours away is not an advantage because, you know, Michigan's is close. Mm-hmm. Certainly Iowa is closer. You know, you've got Northwestern, which will compete a little bit in there, but not they don't take a lot of the kids away from the Big Ten that everybody else is chasing. But you got school, Indiana's closer. There's a lot of schools that are closer. Michigan State's almost the same distance. Ohio State's almost the same distance. So, you know, there's a lot of schools you can choose from other than Illinois that your parents can still go watch you play. And I think they just struggle with the unofficial visits being the numbers that everybody else is getting. And you know how Nebraska, you're going to get the local kids to visit, but mm-hmm. you can't get the kids from L.A. and New Jersey to come out and unofficially visit. And Colorado's the same way. So it's the way recruiting has gone, I think, has hurt all three of those schools.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's get into some of the weekend matchups. You mentioned the must part of it for Michigan. How do you see that shaking out in Madtown, Wisconsin or Michigan?
I guess I just think Michigan is too complete for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's sort of one-dimensional. And I just think it's such an important game for Michigan that that they find a way to win this football game. And Wisconsin's favored by 3, but that's because they're at home, so you got to say this is a push. And so I think this game is just too important, and the experienced quarterback that Michigan has, you know, I think should make a difference in this game. So we'll see what happens.
Auburn is at A&M. Auburn's got their one non-con of the year. A&M's got the mother of all schedules, but in Aggie land, it's going to be War Eagle or Giggum. What do you like on Saturday?
Yeah, and A&M's favored by 4. You know, that's probably a home field advantage plus 1, but I think A&M's due to win one of these games. They're playing too good, and their schedule's tough. Auburn is, you know, I think the freshman quarterback will eventually catch up to him in a big game, and I think this is the one that he catches up to. I think A&M wins this game. They're due to win a big game like this.
Notre Dame heads down to Between the Hedges, Georgia. This line's almost 15. Georgia's O-line is great. They run the football, and Notre Dame's not been great against the run. Is it as simple as that? Do you like Notre Dame to make this interesting, or do you think Georgia makes a statement?
I think Georgia makes a statement. The quarterback, the defense, you know, the whole package of Georgia is just better than Notre Dame. And you know, unless they mess in their bed, you know, they're going to win this by that spread.
Do not mess in one's bed if you're Georgia. That is Gary Barnett, longtime coach, Northwestern and Colorado. Coach, we'll get caught up again soon. Always fun to chat. Thanks for your insight today.
All right, Chris, good being with you.
Gotta love Coach Barnett, and truth be told, Coach Barnett wasn't feeling real good. Didn't even call the Colorado-Nebraska game, and he's back and healthy, and that's good news. And loved what he said about the Nebraska-Colorado game and kind of applying that and moving forward, right? It's important to kind of keep your focus and keep mauling folks, and that's how you felt. Big opportunity Saturday. Good stuff from him on why Illinois has not been a factor. You're not far from Chicago. Why have lesser coaches, it seems, won in Illinois, but guys like Lovey been unable to. Brandon Vogel's going to join us next from HailVarsity.com and Magazine.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. And Vogue's lots to talk about in the world of college football with Nebraska. But let's start with volleyball and just spend a couple of minutes here on volleyball. Nebraska falling to number 2 Stanford. Stanford looked Well, they looked Swiss perfect, didn't they? When you think of Swiss watches and timing, they have a reputation for a reason. And Stanford was a machine last night. That's no shame on Nebraska. They had their moments. But you found your carrot, haven't you, as far as what you got to chase to be a champion?
Yeah, you do. And you know, Coach Cook has never been afraid at kind of putting that out there to his team. For a long time, it was Penn State. Recently, it's been Stanford. And it's been sort of like, okay, you want to win it all? You've got to be as good as that. And last night, Stanford was better. You know, defense is something that Coach Cook has built this program on. And Stanford was amazing defensively. Like, it was tough for Nebraska to get things down against them and really put pressure on Nebraska by doing the small things that you have to do. And, you know, when it came down to it, like, Stanford's best player got, I think, 45 or 49 swings. For Nebraska, it was a true freshman that got those. So credit to the Cardinal for how they executed their plan on that.
Brendan Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Let's shift gears from volleyball now to football, and just had a good chat with Gary Barnett, and he spent some time talking about, you know, why Illinois may not be where they need to be and why they've struggled, but also his thoughts on, you know, what do you learn from a loss. And Nebraska's made it a talking point this week with some incentive, right? Let's go get Coach Frost that first road win. Let's stop being the class that's got an 8-game road losing streak. And, you know, things always amp up as conference play kicks in. Saw some stuff on social media with an Illinois handle talking about that there'll be 50-some thousand, the largest crowd since Ohio State came to town in 2011 or 2012. Do you anticipate Nebraska fans descending on Champaign, or do you think Illinois has kind of found a way to hand out enough tickets to make it look full?
Somewhere between those two. There'll be a sizable red presence in the stadium as there always is. I mean, you know, if they get 50,000 people to that game, I've been there a couple of times now, and I don't know that I've seen that stadium full. And, you know, and that's not to kind of like denigrate Illinois fans by any means. You know, it's been tough for them for a while, and it's one of those places where the program needs to be pretty good for people to come out and fill the stadium, which really is almost every program minus Nebraska, maybe. So we always come from it from a sort of unique point of view, but I think there'll be plenty of Nebraska fans there. Illinois, the loss to Eastern Michigan was interesting. You know, if they get that one, we're probably talking about a much different game here where Illinois is coming in at 3-0 and Nebraska 2-1. Right now, you're looking at a game where Nebraska is a double-digit favorite on the road, which feels, you know, accurate, right, just, whatever term you want to use. Like, I think that's about where Nebraska and Illinois are at. But this could be a tough game, and it's one where Nebraska has to kind of go out and take care of business. And those are a lot tougher, I think, than games where you can say, oh, everyone's against us, no one gave us a chance. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go out and prove something wrong. Good teams / great teams are the ones that succeed in this spot. So it'll be interesting to see what Nebraska does now that they're in that spot again.
We're kind of waiting to define Nebraska, aren't we? I mean, we know they're not great. Yeah. We think they're going to be good. We think they are good, some of us. But you're still waiting on more evidence here and a complete football game. What do you think is best for Nebraska? We all were in agreement last week, go out and stomp the Huskies. Wonderful. Well, yeah. what is beneficial long-term for Nebraska Saturday to go – have Illinois implode and commit penalties and kind of not give the game away, but not play their best game? Or is it beneficial for Nebraska to find themselves in another tight road game?
Yeah, I think the best case scenario is one where Nebraska goes out and kind of controls the game. And that can still be a game where it's, 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. But one where Nebraska, so far this year, they've scored on their first drive all three games. That's a big factor. Defense has played really well. Offense, I feel, has gotten better with each game after kind of a quizzical performance against South Alabama. So I'm still pretty bullish on Nebraska based on some of the numbers that the offense is putting up. It's not quite the well-oiled machine yet that I think everybody hoped it would be, but the defense is better than I thought it would be at this point. So it's in that middle ground right now for me. I'm like, a lot could still be on the table for Nebraska, but there's still some things where we need to figure out exactly what's going to be sustainable long term and what's not going to be. So going into a game, like, if you want to be a good team, like I said, you've got to go out and like control these games. Like, look at Alabama. It's kind of what defines them. They're huge favorites in a lot of games that they play, and they go out there and there's the stray, oh, it's only 14-7 against Citadel last year. You have a couple of those in there, but for the most part, particularly against, conference opponents and Power 5 opponents, they go out there and kind of eliminate a lot of doubt early. That's the level Nebraska's trying to get to. And if they were able to do that against Illinois, that probably tells me more about what this team's about than if they, kind of survive a scare on the road.
Well, and let's not forget about the Citadel. I mean, it was Frank Underwood's alma mater.
That's true. One of the, I think, six or so kind of American military colleges. So they come at things from a different perspective. And got the win last week, which nobody saw coming. So I don't know. Alabama has maybe one of those a year. But then, you'll look at a game where, maybe they're playing a fringe top 25 team and they just go out and own them. Like, that's kind of the marker of when you're really where you want to be, where you just kind of put this thing away by 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
Brandon Vogel's joining us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter is where you follow him. Read his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. So with Illinois, do you think they go downtown? They've got a couple of good wideouts. Yeah. Northern Illinois tried to go deep. Colorado did go deep. They also threw it, they being opposing defenses, the first three games of the year threw junk defenses out. What do you think Illinois is going to try and do against the Nebraska defense? And conversely, what do you think they try to do to keep Adrian off balance?
Yeah, I would be a little bit surprised if Illinois was willing to kind of take that, we're going to show something we haven't shown before on defense. Like, they've got a legitimate pass rusher. They've been able to do some damage on that front. But also, you're talking about a longtime head coach, Lovie Smith. Like, this guy has done this and played defense and football at a high level in the NFL. And I don't want to say that, kind of, a gimmick defense is below him, but
he feels that way.
he doesn't have anything to prove. Like, he wants to go out there and play good defense the way he wants to play it. So I think you'll probably have that from them. And that could be a significant difference for Nebraska. Like, if Illinois looks like they look on tape, that's probably advantage Nebraska, given what Nebraska did last week now, or last year against Illinois, I meant to say. You got to be able to keep Adrian clean. And I think there's some ways for Nebraska to do that. I don't know that you kind of put that all on the offensive line, particularly if you're without Hymas, potentially, at left tackle. Illinois can get in the backfield. That's kind of what they do. That's how they made hay in their first three games. Eastern Michigan figured out a way to stop it. I think Nebraska can kind of combat that with its quick passing game. And that's kind of what I'm expecting. So I think Nebraska will have a way forward here, but you know, if things get crazy, like if you fall behind a little bit early and have to rely more on the passing game than you'd hope to, that kind of opens things up for that Illinois pass rush, which is legitimately dangerous to really hamper Nebraska.
Vogue's got 2 minutes, two last questions for you. Ramir Johnson, is there a Ramir sighting more than 3 carries on Saturday night? Henry Gray, 4-star defensive back from Miami Central, choosing Nebraska over the big dogs in the Big Ten, also Bama, also Florida, also Miami. Yeah. Start with Gray and what it means for Nebraska.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, he had a Florida visit, official visit, scheduled for this week, this weekend against the Gators, take on Tennessee. Canceled that based on his visit to Nebraska last week. It went ahead and pulled the trigger on that. That's pretty significant. You know, you've got to compete with some schools like that, particularly for guys from the South. It beat them out to get that done. So good job on Nebraska there. You know, it says something about that coming in, he was ready to go see what the Gators were all about. Saw enough last weekend to say, nope, this is where I want to be. Ramir Johnson, like I hope that last week, you know, he got in there with the second string for a drive and flashed a little bit. Ryan Held said this week, you know, he's not planning to redshirt him. So if that's not the plan, you hope Nebraska can find a way to kind of work him in and utilize him. Hasn't really happened to this point, but we'll see. You know, he had a run last week where you were like, okay, one more, you know, get a better block here or make one guy miss there. And you have the potential for something. So he showed enough against Northern Illinois to make me want to see more.
Vogues, I ran out of time for barbecue. We'll talk about it Saturday morning. How's that sound?
That'll work.
All right. Brandon Vogel, good stuff. Read him, HailVarsity.com. Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, Burke's Best Bets, next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio. It is that time for Burke's Best Bets. The Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is everywhere. 3 shows for the Musburger Network. My Lord, Danny, they even put a camera on you. I'm proud of you. I'm tearing up, my friend. Congrats. How are you?
Appreciate it, Schmitty. Can you believe it? They let this ugly mug get on camera from time to time.
Yeah, there's cameras and footage and opportunity in Vegas for that. And I thought I'd see you on camera somewhere else is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, let's thank God that didn't happen.
Oh, what a weekend, man. You got a lot of big games, Danny. And let's start off with your home state of Illinois and the Big Red. Nebraska responded the right way. Still not 1,000% unclunky, obviously, on offense, but better. Lovey's got some fellas that can play defense. That's what he's known for. What do you think of Nebraska and the Illini, the lines between, you know, 12 and 14? What's your view on this one?
Yeah, so this is an interesting matchup we got here in Champaign between Nebraska and Illinois. It's always a fun one to look forward to because usually you're assuming Nebraska's going to get an easy win out of it, but you don't really know what you're going to get with this Nebraska team so far, it looks like. If they can keep up what they did last week, then it'll bode well for them for sure. But this one opened up at 7.5 in favor of the Huskers. Immediately got bet up to about 13.5. Now I see some 13s. It got down to 12.5 I saw yesterday. Total opened up at 61.5. I saw it got as high as 64, and that's actually the angle I'm looking at for this game. I took the under at 64, so no teams have got over that mark. Only each team has actually only hit 60 once, and it was Nebraska against Colorado. If you remember, that game obviously went to overtime. Nebraska pretty much went non-existent on offense in that third quarter. Their defense collapsed too as Colorado made the comeback. And, yeah, and then, of course, it didn't help going to overtime, adding the extra points. Illinois, on the other hand, they hit it when they played Eastern Michigan this past weekend, losing 34-31. So those are the only 2 times it happened. I'm not really sure what this Nebraska offense can be on the road, if they can be consistent, especially in Big Ten play. And a trend that kind of backs it up, too, as well. The under has hit 4 of the last 6 games between these 2 teams. The total has gone under in the 12 of the last 16 games played in September for Illinois and 5 of the last 7 played on a Saturday for Nebraska. So I really like the under 64 in this matchup. I think the public immediately went on it, so I took advantage of it when the line was high. I think Nebraska's defense will hopefully show up. Illinois' offense will be a little weary coming into conference play, and it'll be a hard-nosed conference game all through and through.
Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, Burke's Best Bets, Hail Varsity Radio at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter. Catch him on the Brent Musburger Network out in Vegas and different shows you're a part of out there. Danny, any other games that catch your eye for this weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to bring that to the Big Ten first. So before we get to Michigan-Wisconsin, if you don't mind, I kind of want to dive into Michigan State-Northwestern.
Do it. Because
I kind of want to get your thoughts on that one, too. So this game is interesting because, you know, Northwestern, the past few years has dominated this series. And last year, they came out on top as well. And this year, Northwestern 1-1, 0-2 against the spread. Michigan State 2-1 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. You saw what happened last week against Arizona State in that whole debacle. So obviously Michigan State will be playing with a little chip on their shoulder, not only because what happened last week, but because what happened last year when Northwestern won on the road is a 10.5-point dog, winning 29-19. So you see Northwestern about plus 9.5 at home, over under at 39. I'm looking at buying the half point, getting the value at minus 120 for Northwestern at plus 10 at home. Michigan State is 1-6 against the spread the last 7 games and 1-4 against the spread in straight up the last 5 versus Northwestern. Look, I mean, it's evident their offense isn't there. If they couldn't get it done against Arizona State at home, I don't think they can do it in conference play against Pat Fitzgerald. Not that Northwestern has the biggest home field advantage, but I think Northwestern with ease should be able to keep this game within 10. They don't have the greatest offense either, but their strength typically is on the defense, and especially Pat Fitzgerald, he likes to do very well against the spread in conference play. So I have faith in the Wildcats on this one, Schmitty. How about you?
You are right on the money. I mean, I don't know that Michigan State's going to score 10, let alone cover 10.
Right.
So give me Northwestern and the points. Maybe that's too much of a sucker bet after the Arizona State debacle, but I think Northwestern, they haven't really played anybody. They looked awful against Stanford. Stanford's not looked great. But you know what? Northwestern for sure. That's where I'm leaning as well. Michigan, Wisconsin here. This is so big for Michigan here.
Yeah, I mean, this is monumental without a doubt. Not even just for Michigan, but for Jim Harbaugh as well. And I know the public immediately is kind of hopping on Wisconsin, but the more sharp people I've talked to in Vegas, the more like Michigan in this spot. And I don't see why you wouldn't either, because you're catching the hook in this situation, meaning you're getting 3.5 with Michigan. Granted, it's on the road, and Wisconsin has looked great, but Wisconsin hasn't played anyone that big compared to Michigan. And I believe we were talking about this last week. Might have been on my podcast that you came on, but you know, everyone overreacted to Michigan and Army, and it's mainly because Army barely beat Rice in week 1, 14-7, and then they go into overtime against Michigan. Look, this Army team is solid. They arguably could have been in the top 25. They weren't showing everything when they were playing Rice because they knew they were looking ahead to Michigan. So it's no surprise to me that game came down to the wire, especially the way that Army runs their offense, which takes time and time and time off the clock, which limits Michigan's ability to really control the game on their tempo. And they had a lot of mental mistakes, which they can easily correct. So athlete-wise, overall, Michigan has the advantage there. Wisconsin has Jonathan Taylor, and that offensive line looks great, sure, but Michigan has a great defense. I think if you're giving me the hook 3.5, I got to lean with the Wolverines here.
I think you do. Producer, host of ESIN Live, Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter is where you follow Danny. Danny, another game or two, got about a minute and a half here that you're leaning on or you like.
Yeah, so another big matchup here, Utah going to USC. At first, I was not going to bite this game at all, but right now you kind of see Utah at 3.5. This is another situation where I'm looking at buying the half a point. I like Utah getting 3 here, or lane 3, excuse me. Utah 3-0, 1-2 against the spread. Historically, Utah has just done pretty well against USC, 6-3 against the spread their last 9 versus USC, and 4-1 their last 5. They're also 4-1 their last 5 against the spread on the road, and 12-5 their last 17 against the spread on the road, 6-2 against the spread their last 8 against Pac-12 opponents. So I really like the Utes in this spot. I think they have better offensive threats. Not sure I trust Slovis. He was okay, but I think Utah will prevail.
Last thought here, Danny. Does Notre Dame just get hammered? Does that number, as big as it is, still too small? I mean, are you just all over Georgia this weekend?
I mean, Schmitty, I grew up a Notre Dame fan. I think you know this. I've been disappointed time and time again. And then I went to Nebraska, so I pretty much tried to X-day them for my life. But I don't know, man. I mean, I'm definitely not going to bet on Notre Dame. I can tell you that much. And it's been pretty stagnant at 14 here, so most of the money's getting bet on Georgia. So for me, it maybe be either a teaser spot, getting that line down for Georgia, throwing them in a parlay, or just going Georgia with the 14. Hopefully look for a 13.5, but I'm definitely not trusting Notre Dame here.
No, Notre Dame's, it comes down to the run game, right? And Georgia's just fabulous at it. Notre Dame is not. Danny, what's coming up on your podcast, bud?
We'll be releasing the college podcast today. We'll be having all my picks, more in-depth analysis on all those games, and a few more we didn't go over. So I'll be tweeting that out, and you can look for it there at my Twitter, at DannyBurke5.
Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Danny, have a good weekend. Thanks for the time.
You as well, Schmitty.
$3.5 million is what was invested into Colorado by Nebraska fans. That number amping up potentially with the Big Red Faithful, that army invading Champaign. Some final thoughts on a Thursday when we come back on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Busy show today. We've been to Vegas. We've been to Boulder. We've checked in with Vogel and Blackshirt Jay Moore. It's time to talk to my favorite, Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, off Industrial Road in Omaha. Can log on, spasonline.com. Deb, I'm sure you've got a hot tub for Patrick Mahomes to rest that elbow, don't you?
That's right, yeah. He doesn't have to sit in that thing of ice. He could get in a hot tub. So we've got that. We've got a hot tub really to fit everybody and any family. If you've got two people in your family or if you've got a whole crew, we've got one for everybody. And this is the perfect time of year. Get that spa in your backyard and get ready for the colder temperatures.
Deb, it sounds like a wonderful idea. And I mean, Chiefs fans know that you wear that yellow and red, just like Nebraska fans know you wear that red and white.
Uh-huh.
But you're open to all football fans, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, definitely. Yes. We treat everyone equally. So you come in and we'll just talk sports. That's okay. Whatever team you root for, we can talk about it.
Well, and I'm sure there's some stress going on with Mahomes putting up 50 points on somebody else's team. So you can be there to comfort, I would assume.
Yes, we can. We're very understanding. So come in, check us out. And we'll make it so simple and easy for you.
Go see Deb, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, Home Innovation Spas, spasonline.com. Deb, a thought here. When can folks come see you? Also, you've got some specials. I mean, it's always special, but you do have some great bargains, don't you?
Yes, we do. We always make special deals on anything in stock. And, of course, we keep a lot in stock. So it's not like you have two spas to check to choose from. You've got a lot of choices. So come in, find that perfect one. We'll be there Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and on Saturday, 10 to 4.
Deb, can't wait to talk to you next week, and thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, Chris. Thank you. Bye-bye. Right.
She isn't messing around. I mean, that's where Mahomes can rest that weary elbow once he goes for 6,000 yards and 60 touchdowns. Colton's like, yeah, he could probably handle that. If you're in Lincoln, the Beer Show Extravaganza is rocking and rolling as soon as we're done. Granite City is where you need to go see Nick and the crew for the Beer Show tonight. Well, you're doing it. Buckle up. Reminder, seatbelts prevent excessive injury. Whether your body or vehicle need to slow down, that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Had a fun show today. Plenty of thoughts on Nebraska and the Illini. Good breakdown by Jay Moore. Good stuff from Brandon Vogel. Barney was back. Brandon Vogel. And, of course, Burke's Best Bets. Colton and I will be rocking in studio tomorrow And we're pretty loaded up. Mike Babcock and Greg Smith will be with us. The Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. And then Colton's ready for another good week with the Friday forecast. And Klausburn. We've got a treat, man. A big-time treat. Klausburn's going to be on site next Friday at the Graduate.
Well, there you go. You got to keep his
witness protection.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Is he going to have like a hat that covers his face? So change his voice, maybe?
We may. We can't change the voice too much. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for checking us out on Hail Varsity. Get the podcast iTunes or HailVarsity.com. See ya.